Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.
During the 1960s, a person could not have been blamed if they thought that the U.S. was coming apart at the seams. Everyday citizens had begun to organize and question the status quo. To those in power, the status quo was what had made the U.S. a global superpower, and, to a select few in the FBI, those who fought for the changes to the status quo were a threat to national security. Those involved in activist groups that were at odds with the philosophies that dominated the administrative levels of the FBI, such as the Communist Party USA, Black Panthers, Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, and the Nation of Islam, were deemed threats and were systematically targeted to be neutralized. Documents obtained by activists and uncovered by groups such as the American Civil Liberties Union revealed this coordinated harassment of groups with ideologies that were deemed un-American was orchestrated and executed under the watchful eye of J. Edgar Hoover, who had been the very first director of the FBI. This case file, the theorists get into the not-so-crazy-now-is-it story of COINTELPRO.
Welcome to Alien Theorists Theorizing, Case File 138, COINTELPRO. I'm Braden.
I'm Zell.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Andrew.
Woo! Oh, shit. It is now officially May, thank God, because that means the running challenge is done. Over.
My knee feels good now. I can run.
First off, I'd just like to point out one thing. In the rankings of the theorists, still number one, baby.
I think I owe you I think we agreed on a bag of potatoes.
Is that what
that was the original reward, so I'll make sure
we'll get those right to you.
I don't want any russets either, those little gold ones. That's what I want.
No, I'm getting the Yukon Golds.
Yukon Gold.
Yukon Golds, yeah.
That's the greatest fucking potato out there.
Yeah. You would know, eh?
Hey, damn right. I got my potato vocabulary is impeccable.
Now, unbelievable amount of kilometers and miles logged. Zell, do you have the total on hand?
Oh, not the full total, but it was like 3,700 kilometers or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. 1,900 miles. The top five. Let's go. Number five, Julian P. from Toronto, Ontario.
Ooh, yeah.
He ran. Toronto. Why is this got put in meters? 174. 1,483 meters.
Because it sounds way better. It sounds way longer.
Wow. That's 174 kilometers.
I was going to say, you just have to move the decimal point.
Yeah, it's 1-0.
Dan, no one asked you, okay? You don't even know what meters are.
Apparently, I'm not. Okay.
All right?
I don't even
quiet know over there. Number four, Sodom Eyes. From Ottawa, with a 193,082 meters. It's 193 kilometers. Jason Boulay, or Boule, from L.A., 194,116,000. That's 194 kilometers. Emily Scordato, 275,865 meters, 275 kilometers run. Unbelievable. Give me a little bit of a drum roll here, boys. Give me a cue up a little. And the number one, the winner of the running challenge, Daniel Wilkes from Rohnert Park with a mind-numbing 488,256 meters. That's 488 kilometers in 30 days. The guy's a beast. Unbelievable.
That guy ran over 10 marathons.
That guy's putting Forrest on fucking notice.
Yeah. Like,
Jesus.
Run, yeah. Daniel, run.
Yeah, that was crazy. So those top five are the theorites of the week or of the month, I guess we should say.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of other, I think, what do we have? 9 people put over 100K, which is
That's impressive.
Super impressive. So
I almost did it, just couldn't quite do it. My body gave up.
Body shut down. Mine shut down after day 10.
My throat checks. My body could not cash on this one.
Not the first time you've done that.
No. This is a frequent occurrence. So if you participated in the running challenge, you joined it, running wasn't your thing, while we're still all in quarantine and various states of lockdown, we've got a new challenge. One that Andrew might be good at, as he showed off today. We're doing the 30-day push-up challenge. Easy. Post your day one. Rep it out to failure, and then you're trying to double that number in 30 days.
Well, there's no way in hell I double that.
No, you're not double.
Not with that attitude. Sure.
No, man, not double. You want, it's your personal improvement. So if you do 20 on day one and you do 35 on day 30,
no,
that's a plus 15.
It's garbage. Double.
Well, Jesus.
Or nothing.
What if you could only do 6 on day one and then you can do
and then
only
you do
12.
15? That's even better.
Don't listen to Braden. Personal improvement. Best you can do. If you stop at doubling, you gave up.
I mean, and also be prepared. If you do like any more than 30, you're going to get fucking chirped hard.
Yeah.
I did 33. Did I get chirped?
Yeah.
I got called a fucking vampire.
No. Yeah,
again.
You did.
Yeah, because you weren't even touching. You were just levitating the
just
whole time.
Floating.
Up and down. The no arm push-up. It was great.
Yeah. Easy effort.
Even Mr. Conspiracy joined. I think he knocked off 31 or 32.
Probably just one or two more than you, right?
Yeah.
100%. Yeah.
He's not trying harder than me.
How sensitive is the Instagram and Facebook copyright? That Mr. Conspiracy had Captain America on in the background, like barely audible, and the video got blocked.
Yeah. I didn't even know what movie he was playing. It was like muffled in the back.
I couldn't hear it. And then it's like, yeah.
Captain America, Winter Soldier, playing in the background.
Yeah,
delete your video now or die.
Jesus.
Pretty
basically.
Much.
Disney doesn't fuck around, man.
Nope.
And then I also made probably my Citizen Kane of trailers.
That was your own fault, though. What were you thinking?
Dude, I used My Sharona in one, and it's still on there.
Well, you
the
used...
entire song of My Sharona. Well,
listen, buddy, Boney M doesn't fuck around.
They don't fuck around.
Dude,
I mean, they're,
you don't
that's
fuck
Sony,
with Big Boney
so
M.
Sony doesn't fuck around.
Big Sony, yeah.
You cannot play any rah-rah Rasputin.
Anyway, so I don't know. Maybe we'll try to post it on YouTube, but YouTube's pretty good, too, for pulling stuff real fast, so...
We'll have to redo the audio. That's the only way. I'll have to play on a guitar and you'll have to do...
Purple Wizards can redo it.
Yeah, Purple Wizards will have to redo that song and we'll get the video out there. It was
all
funny.
Right, but let's get into this one because this one is thick and juicy. COINTELPRO.
Oh. What is it? Dan, lead us down the rabbit hole.
Huh?
Okay, COINTELPRO, which is short for the Counterintelligence Program, is a... program which
it's a
was
shitty name as well because they weren't even trying.
Yeah, wasn't a super creative name.
What do you
mean? Like
the
Operation Minaret or Operation Midnight Climax.
Yeah. Operation Let's Catch Dudes Jerking It.
I mean, like, but it makes sense. It's like you can kind of, you know what I mean? You can kind of understand what it is. It's not Project fucking Paperclip. Like,
yeah, but what? Yeah, you give it away in the name. It's the worst.
COINTELPRO. exactly what it stands for. Just the few letters of each word.
But it's better than COINTEL because it's COINTEL Pro.
Yeah.
You got to pay for this version.
You got to pay extra for Pro.
You got to subscribe.
It comes
to
with Microsoft Word.
Yeah. Well, this time maybe like AOL.
So the counterintelligence program was a program started in 1956, authorized by the higher ups in the FBI and the, you know, presidents, multiple presidents over the course of its existence. Originally, the intent was to disrupt the activities of the Communist Party in the United States, because in 1956, the big scary boogeyman was communism. You know,
Does
this surprise you? Well, does it surprise you? You can't have a bunch of commies running around America spinning and sinning.
Yeah. Yeah. You know they heard the tales of Rasputin, and they didn't want none of that happening at stateside.
Negative. You can't have a bunch of these Russians with their 13-inch penises running around America.
Yeah.
It's not okay.
Yes, that's what they put on all the propaganda posters.
Yeah. When they say hammer and sickle, it wasn't a hammer on the flag.
What was the sickle?
It was a hammer.
What was the sickle?
It was a sickle.
It was a sickle.
Because they cut it off.
I don't want a sickle anywhere near my 13-inch dick.
Yeah. Well, that's what happened to Rasputin, hence the flag.
I mean, 13, you could probably spare a few inches, but it's all fine.
Yeah.
By 1960, what had happened was that this program, I mean, to look at it one way, had pretty much grown to encompass all disruption of activist groups throughout the United States. That include like the Socialist Worker Party. Later in the 1960s, it would be the Black Panther Party, the Student Nonviolent Coordination Committees, all kinds of, even the Ku Klux Klan. I'm not saying that any of these groups have any sort of high ground over the other, but like the FBI was definitely in the business of
being
surveilling
in their business.
Everyone. Yeah, getting in your business.
They're in the business of controlling dissent. Like anything away from the mainstream, they had their fingers in it, trying to either steer it off course or like let it implode from the inside by installing like their own agents in these groups. It's fucking wild.
Yeah, like I said, it started in 1956. They concentrated more of their efforts on addressing and trying to, capitalize on the American people's fear of communism and domestic subversion. That was their kind of, their
MO?
Their modus. Yeah, not their MO, but it was like that was the justification for it. So
to fight the Reds.
Yeah, fight the Reds because they're gonna, communism is gonna come over here in America, and we're gonna end up just like the Nazis or something like that. Like that was the kind of if we can't let that happen in America.
Yeah, but it went even further than that because then it was basically any party left to center might be commie. We better get in there and fuck it up.
Right. The person running the show was pretty much J. Edgar Hoover, who had been running the FBI essentially since 1935. Right. He was pretty much the
worst person ever.
I wouldn't
sound great.
Dispute that. There are some things that I definitely wouldn't dispute. That's probably one of them.
Andrew doesn't like him because he wore a dress. That's why.
Hey, but goddamn. Well,
it's because me and him wear the same dresses and we clash. It kind of frustrates me a little bit.
Yeah, but they built the best dam in the world after him. That place is awesome. Couldn't have been that bad of a guy. Back on track, Dan.
Anyways,
Hoover.
So J. Edgar Hoover had pretty much come to look at it as his job to kind of define what an American was. Right. He had taken the FBI and turned it into what it was essentially a secret police force. And he had to get the authorization of some presidents, but there were presidents that he clashed with. Harry S. Truman clashed with him, saying that, you know, you've turned this almost into an American, he turned the FBI into almost the American style Gestapo.
Yeah, right? Kind of.
Other presidents and other potential presidents clashed with J. Edgar Hoover on tons of the things that they did while they were putting a lot of the COINTEL tactics on American soil. So COINTELPRO made it its pretty much job to approach kind of counterinsurgency in the United States. And they use pretty much four tactics that they usually would concentrate on. And they came down to, it was usually misinformation would be one of them. They would use manipulation of the American justice system. If that didn't work, they'd use violence in some cases. And then they would also use one more thing, which would usually come down to, I can't remember off the top of my head now.
Didn't he tell them like directly, like, use your imagination by whatever means necessary, like, get it done?
Oh, 100%. There'd be agents that, like, get in group some of these groups, like the Black Panthers, and they'd report back, be like, you know, like, it seems to me, Mr. Hoover, that these people, like, their main priority is to, like, feed the kids in the neighborhood. And he's like, listen, motherfucker, go back and you find me something or your career's over.
I want to know, is this the same council that came up with the idea to just put snakes everywhere to scare people in Cuba? Like, are these the same guys? Like, that's all I can picture.
Operation Northwoods?
Well, yeah.
I think that was more of a CIA plot. Yeah. This is FBI, so. Oh,
fair enough.
A little bit different.
Same, but different.
I wonder if there's a little crossover right there.
So, pretty much the activities of the COINTELPRO hinged on about, like I said, four things: infiltration, psyops, manipulation of the legal system, and violence. So for an example of infiltration, they were always looking for a way to embed FBI agents inside these activist groups. And they would have them act as what are known as agent provocateurs, where they would try to urge activist groups to become more violent and more radical.
Dude, in some of the cases where these, like, activist groups, like, committed arson and stuff, it's like later came out that, like, the targets, the tools, like, all the information was provided by the inside agents to do these things. So it's like they're just strictly setting these groups up for failure by, you know, pushing them one way or another.
So wait, so the FBI, it's obviously not the whole FBI is in on it, but like a small portion of the FBI is, this is not for the people. This is like a rogue part of the FBI. Like, not,
dude,
no one knew
head,
about this.
In my head, this is an X-Files style show with two agents who do all this, all of this.
What are their names? First thing
know,
comes
Smith
to your mind.
And
Jim and
Jerry.
Jimerson.
Jim and, yeah, Jim. This is Jim Jimerson's first gig.
Agent Jim Jimerson and agent
and his partner Jerry Jimerson.
Jim and Jerry Jimerson. So not related,
agent
though.
Jimerson's, yeah.
They're not related. Just Jim and Jerry Jimerson. The only two FBI agents on the case at the start.
One is spelled G-Y-M Erson. But Jimerson.
Jim
well.
He's Jimerson. Jacked.
Yeah. No, he's the skinny one.
Yeah.
it's very ironic, the whole thing.
I can see these guys hanging out at universities, like, you know, trying to infiltrate the anti-war movements, being like, God damn it, kids. Do you guys want to smoke some drugs?
Yeah. With the hippies with their crew cuts.
Yeah.
You guys like drugs, huh?
And not only that, but they're infiltrating like the Black Panthers and stuff. They're wearing blackface. And
100%. Hello, fellow brothers. You also hate the honky, huh? 100%. Dude, at every turn, like, most of these groups would be like, figured out, they'd be like, I think there's like cops or FBI agents in our mix that are feeding info. So, like, by all accounts, like, a lot of the times they were figured out.
Yeah.
There was a few where it worked.
I think they definitely said that the easiest group to infiltrate was the Ku Klux Klan.
I would,
they said that was the one they had the easiest time infiltrating.
That I could
probably
see that.
Because they're all smoking meth.
Yeah. And, well, I don't know if I mean, that's, I think that's the Ku Klux Klan of now, but like, then, you know, you go in there with a crew cut, you know what I mean? You're talking like Jim Jimerson or Jerry Jimerson, right? Jim, you fit Jerry. Right in.
Right.
Wear a little white sheet. You're in. Well, I mean, what more? You got the right skin color. I mean,
that's all.
I don't think that'd be a hard group because it's very hate centric.
I'm not even going to begin to pretend like I understand the inner workings of a Ku Klux Klan.
I just think it would be an easy one to infiltrate. I don't doubt it.
I don't doubt it's easy to infiltrate. You don't have to infiltrate. You just got to show up.
Like I'm saying, looks alone, me and Zell would have no problem.
Oh, buddy, Zell would be red wizard capes.
Zell would probably have to vouch for me. Yeah. Andrew, you're done. Dan, you're a little tan, my friend.
Yeah, Dan's Dan wouldn't get in right away.
But like, that's how easy it is.
Recruiting numbers are pretty low. I think they might take anybody.
They might.
I'm just saying. It's not.
I'll just
stay
indoors for a couple more months, and then I'll be good.
I mean, I could do the Chappelle. I could be going off about Middle Eastern people. I hate them when they stink.
So besides infiltration, like I said, they had psyops. One of the large practices of within that category was what they would do is known as bad jacketing or snitch jacketing. And so they would have agents that were embedded with say the Black Panther Party, and they would spread suspicion that senior members were either embezzling money or plotting to kill one another. So you'd pretty much, you would turn, the idea would be to turn the, you know, the organization against itself.
Well,
to promote factions within the movement.
And like the one thing that, you know, it made me think too, is the fact like it's kind of a win-win for them, because even if they found out that they're being infiltrated, like that totally goes against the credibility of the fucking organization, right? Because like how tight of an organization can you have if it's that easy to infiltrate?
That's a great point, because even if you find out there's an FBI agent and you're like, he's an FBI agent, then you're like, who else? Who else is in our midst, right?
Yeah,
you trust anything.
Everybody get an envelope and write citizen on it, and that's how you find out.
Yeah.
It's the only way to find out. I'm not a cop.
Once you've infiltrated the group, and you've planted that seed of doubt in everyone's mind, even if you're not really found out and like you never, that never really does anything. Now that just that seed alone is enough for people to be like, is that guy? Can I even trust this group? And then it would make it even harder than if people wanted to join the group and they heard about that, like say got outed. Like, well, yeah, that group is, it's been infiltrated. Like I'm scared to join because I don't know who's who.
And you know what? What a time for this kind of stuff, because it's not like now. I feel like this kind of stuff would be way easier now to hack into someone's email, send some emails off. The only problem is the people that you're sending these to could get in contact very quickly and be like, why'd you send me this? I don't know. I never said anything. Whereas like back in the day, you're forging letters and sending these letters to people. And then so you send letters to two leaders from each other and they read it. And you know what? There's no quick turnaround of like, getting in contact with each other, and that's all it takes.
Funny, dark wings, dark words.
Yeah, 100%.
The next weapon in their arsenal for COINTELPRO was they would use the manipulation of the legal system. So if you couldn't break an organization using the tactics of, you know, turning them against each other, you would basically try to break them financially. So this would boil down to strategies where they would have suspected activists and supporters targeted by the IRS, or they were sued, or they were framed for crimes that they had nothing to do with. You know, if you put them in jail enough times, you know, you'd end up with having, you know, they have to post bail multiple times. Organizations' funds get eaten up by, you know, having to bail members out of jail multiple times. I think one of the Black activist groups said that they spent in a year, like $1.2 million on bail bonds alone.
So wait,
trying to get people out of jail.
So this rogue FBI faction is, do they have like some like federal like judges or in their pocket, or like how do they get away with this stuff?
Local police.
Essentially, yeah. Because they did act very closely. A lot of these times, a lot of these strategies would hinge on the participation of local police force and local law enforcement. So right. You'd have, you know, either police, because at that time, you know, this 1960s, extremely turbulent time in terms of, you know, the civil rights movement. There was a lot of other, this was the 1960s. This was the Great Awakening, whatever you want to call it. And so there were racial tensions within these towns, certain areas, you know, Chicago, LA, San Francisco, these places. And it didn't, you know, it wouldn't take much for an FBI to be like, approach the predominantly white, you know, law enforcement agents, local law enforcement agents, to be like, hey, we want to put these guys in jail. And I don't think it really took all that much convincing to get some of these guys on board.
Yeah. Well, like Braden was saying, a lot of these guys had crew cuts and were meeting with white sheets.
Are you saying,
Andrew, that some of those who work forces are the same who burn crosses?
Damn straight.
I'm just saying there was not a lot of love back then. Different time.
Way different time.
I mean,
what I want to know is how did they get Irwin R. Scheister on their payroll? Like, that guy was making Vince McMahon money. What were they doing, Dan? Explain that to me. How did they get IRS?
They would just tip off like IRS agents to keep going after the same people over and over with audits.
Yeah, they would just be like, audit this guy.
That's not even the hardest thing ever. If you have an FBI agent, I'm saying that right now, if you went in, there's probably a little more like tape and stuff, but if you had law enforcement right in, I'm sure they have like higher workings with higher ups in the IRS, and they'd be like, hey, we need a solid. You should look into this guy. And they're like, all right.
Well, I guess sure. They would probably buy into it too, because it's coming from somewhat of a trusted source. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? You're going to believe them. You're going to be like, okay, yeah, this guy's obviously a shady piece of shit because they're after him. Yeah, I'll dig up whatever I can.
Yeah, the feds.
Yeah, I'll try to help you.
The feds give your name. Like, if you're like an IRS worker, the feds give the name. You're like, well, like, yeah, I'll go along with that.
Could you imagine, though, like, think about this. You got Jim Jimerson.
And Jerry Jimerson.
And Jerry Jimerson. They're coming into the IRS. They're sitting by some, like, desk jockey, and they're like, hey, buddy, we need help with a special investigation. They flip their little badges. They're like, we need someone we can count on. Are you that guy?
We need a real American.
Your country needs you. God
damn
it.
We need a patriot. What we need right now is a goddamn patriot.
Are you a real American?
And this guy's like, I'm in.
Yeah.
God damn it, Jim and Jerry.
Take out
his
little pocket calculator.
Yeah. They're like, we need you to audit this list of names. He's like, sure. And he's like, and don't stop. He's like, what if when I finish the audit? He goes, I can't do it again.
Start it again.
Yeah.
What if I find nothing?
Run it again.
Doesn't matter. Something's there.
You can find something. And he gives a wink. But like, I don't think it would have been hard especially that, because you said, Andrew, it's a trusted source.
And a majority of the time, they didn't find anything, but that wasn't really the point. For getting people audited by the IRS, usually just ended up, those people had to expend energy and resources to deal with the audit that they could have put towards, you know, organizing
rallies.
Activities or protesting or things like that. They wouldn't be able to do that while they had to, you know, contend with an IRS audit.
And especially if that gets out in the media, the media gets a hold of that, like, oh, so-and-so has been audited for fraud, even though he's not at all like fraudulent. Just that headline alone lingers around. That's almost enough, probably.
Yeah. And even if the charges go away, the thing still sticks with you. You know, that kind of stigma or that kind of, you know, accusation sticks with you longer than the actual, oh, you know, they didn't find anything. And that wouldn't be front page news.
No, that wouldn't be news at all. Like, who cares? That happens every day. But, oh, like, so-and-so, like, leader of this party, investigated for fraud. That's front page, or at least, like, that's big news.
Well, even that, think about, like, a leader of this, like, you know, this organization or whatnot. And then your followers, you're like, hey, the IRS is investigating him for fraud. Like, what the fuck is he doing? Can we trust him? Right? Like, on so many levels, this hurts the credibility of these people.
For sure.
Look, you like Dan, and you got a trip to Thailand coming up, and you want to impress the locals? Well, then you want Rosetta Stone. It's been the trusted expert for 30 years, with millions of users and 25 different languages offered. It's got fast language acquisition. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. No English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. It's convenient, flexible learning anytime, anywhere. Learn on the go with mobile app or at your desktop on your own schedule. Rosetta Stone has amazing value. Lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's a lifetime access to 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off.
Sure, there's competitors to Rosetta Stone, but Rosetta Stone offers more languages and a lifetime membership. You could go over to Babbel and get 60% off, but it's not for a lifetime. That's why we're promoting Rosetta Stone today. All right, Theorites, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Alien Theorist Theorizing listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your damn life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today or look for the link in the show notes. Peace!
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
So if all else failed, you know, apparently the last resort would be violence by the FBI. And one of the biggest examples or clearest examples of that was the 1969 armed police raid the Black Panther headquarters.
Is that the Frank Hampton's murder?
Yeah, right. It's the murder of Frank Hampton.
That's absolutely fucking horrifying.
Right. Eventually it came out that Fred Hampton, who was a leader of one of the, the Chicago Black Panthers, he was a large and a very prominent voice within the community. It came out that one of his bodyguards was actually an FBI agent, and he had turned over a detailed floor plan of the property at which they were residing, down to details like where Fred Hampton was actually sleeping, where he would be found. And so in the early mornings, in an early morning police raid, you had armed police with, you know, things like submachine guns, shotguns, pistols, roll into this house and pretty much blow away everything that was moving. They killed Fred Hampton. They also killed another member of the Black Panthers, and then injured a couple other ones. And all the bullets, it's just funny because the Black Panthers, they had one weapon that they found that the Black Panthers had fired.
The death rattle.
They had got off one shot.
Yeah, and they said that was only shot because after the person got shot, he pulled the trigger post-mortem.
Call that death rattle.
Yeah.
And the thing, too, is like the FBI agent that has infiltrated this crew, like he drugged Fred Hampton that night before. Like when he cooked him dinner, he put benzos in his food to make sure he's knocked out. And like the other,
he didn't wake up for the raid.
No, and
he
the other,
he any of it.
The other staggering stuff about this too. It's like you can like Zell could probably pull up the pictures of what this guy's bed looked like. Like so, they bust in the door, blow a hole through Hampton's shoulder, doesn't kill him. They pull him out of bed, bring him into the hallway, get him down on fucking both knees, and two pops, double tap to the head, execution style.
Two, yeah, not the single, the double.
Double tap, man.
Double tap.
Playing for keeps.
Right. And And even to go further, like, there was an inquest into the police actions that they took that day, and they said it was justified.
Oh,
it was
God.
A justified use of force.
Fucking sickening, man.
Justified to do a double tap to the dome?
Right.
The whole thing. Well, they had said that they were fired at.
By one bullet, I guess.
Yeah, there was one. So. There was a round in the ceiling from hand shot.
They dragged him out and shot him. Like, they didn't shoot him in self defense. Like, you could have seen someone shoot in self defense. Like, the guy draw and then got shot. No, they dragged him out and shot him. Like, if you're like any type of good investigator, like, no, this guy was murdered on the floor.
But again, they're probably taking their word for it that Hampton was a bad dude and needed to be taken out.
Exactly.
And
it's crazy.
I think back in the day, from everything I read, like, the Chicago police were pretty corrupt. Like, corruption was pretty widespread. So I don't think it took much to, you know, maybe push them in that direction.
Another really good example is... because you, like, we're saying infiltrate and violence, right? Those are two of the things. Like, look what happened to Malcolm X, right? Like, they infiltrated the fucking Nation of Islam, got in there and started planting fucking bad shit about Malcolm X, and he was taken out by his own people in his own fucking during one of his own rallies. You know what I mean? They convinced people of the Nation of Islam to take out Malcolm X.
Yeah, and that was just spreading disinformation, like, among the ranks. And
they didn't even have to lift a finger.
Yeah.
They did it for them. It was perfect.
It's like what they were really excelled at was finding a powder keg and exploiting it 100%. Just lighting the fuse.
Yeah, and it wasn't just black nationalist groups they had. They had, the FBI used their resources to subvert and, you know, neutralize the Puerto Rican liberation movement, where the Puerto Rican nationalists were trying to either, you know, they were pushing for a commonwealth and or independent country status. Those groups, the FBI ended up gathering intelligence on people's, like, you know, activist families, you know where they were going, like, millions and millions of pages on just Puerto Rican citizens that had, you know, most of it had nothing to do with activism. It's just anybody that those people knew automatically became targets in this whole in COINTELPRO action.
Yeah, they'd send, like, embarrassing letters to neighbors and shit, and, like, and just, like, out people to you know, other coworkers and shit. Like, it was, it's wild.
Professional trolls. Like,
yeah,
100%.
And they worked in close concert with, you know, like Braden was saying, and corrupt police forces were definitely a part of it. Because in Puerto Rico, back in those days, you needed a what was called, like, a good conduct letter in order to get a job. Like, you needed to have one in order to get a job. But who gives out the good conduct letters? Police. So, you know, if you couldn't get one, you couldn't get a job.
That's the gatekeeper.
You couldn't do anything.
Yeah, different time. Way different time back then.
It's weird because we talked about this before the show. We'd seen a lot of this in other case files with the CIA and foreign meddling and doing this kind of tactics, but never really the FBI doing it on the home soil. And there's so many instances of this in this time frame.
This one seems sickening. Like the most nefarious, almost, like, purposely infiltrating these groups to, like, sway public, like public opinion. Like,
and getting people executed.
How is this not a movie?
On U.S. soil?
Completely controlled dissent.
Like, how is this not a movie by now?
Right. Is there no movie about this at all?
I mean, there's a couple of movies about, like, Malcolm X and things like that.
You could make Martin Luther King. You could make an
Martin
awesome
Luther King
show.
Was also, you know, caught up in this whole COINTELPRO because he was one of the biggest parts of the civil rights movement.
The best part about this, though, is the fact that it just totally did not even phase his legacy whatsoever. Like, you don't hear
even though
any
they
of
tried
this bad
to tear
shit
it down.
The guy's got a fucking holiday named after him. Like, this did not phase him whatsoever.
You know, and they definitely used every trick in the book trying to get, you know, discredit Martin Luther King and somehow neutralize him from, you know, making a difference. And to some extent, people argue that the whole COINTELPRO the actions that were associated with the FBI are what got, what directly or indirectly led to the assassination of Dr. King. Because it was, I believe, FBI agents who tipped off media in the town that he was staying at in April of 1968 when he was assassinated. They had put a story in the local newspaper about Martin Luther King staying at a Holiday Inn as opposed to staying at a historically black owned motel. And so they had to change hotels. And they're saying that that is what may have, you know, it was a large factor in getting King assassinated or setting him up for an assassination.
I don't find it hard to believe that they had this all orchestrated and had the person pull the fucking trigger to begin with. They tried to convince him to kill himself, like what, fucking a couple months before that?
Well, yeah, right.
They caught him in the hotel.
Yeah.
They had recorded, so they had wiretaps, they had, you know, all his hotel rooms bugged, everything, and they had got audio tapes of him having affairs.
Yep.
And they had sent him a letter, and in this letter, basically, they were like, just trashed him in this letter.
This is the quote. King, there is only one thing left for you to do. This is written anonymously. There is but one way out for you. You better take it before your filthy, fraudulent self is barred to the nation. That was the letter, anonymous letter, pretty much trying to get him to commit suicide.
Yeah. Oh, here's in the first part. It says, in view of your low grade, abnormal personal behavior, I will not dignify your name with either a Mr. or a Reverend or a Doctor. And your last name calls to mind only the type of king such as King Henry the VIII and his countless acts of adultery and immoral conduct lower than that of a beast.
Wasn't King Henry the guy who like chopped off like how many fucking heads?
Yeah. They told him like, yeah, if you don't kill yourself, we're going to release all this stuff. And he didn't. And they released it all. And like, he didn't give a fuck. He's like, no, I'm not doing it. Like, well,
how many of you guys knew that he had an affair prior to this looking into this fucking podcast?
Did not know.
I had no idea. No idea at all.
All I knew is he had a dream, not a fucking affair.
So. He had a dream. Yeah. I mean, you have an affair. I mean, that sucks for his like personal life and his family, but that's not really anything to do with his message or his, like his person, right?
But they found this, they were spying on him so hard and sent a letter telling him to kill himself.
Savage.
Unbelievable.
Fucking savage.
And obviously he didn't listen. He didn't, you know what I mean? He didn't take heed to their warning. So like, is it really that hard to believe that they had him fucking blown away?
No, they were already doing this all the time.
The last, like Dan said, there's four fucking methods here and the last one's violence.
There was so much stuff in this time period. It's actually mind-boggling. They tried to incite a war between the mafia and the, what was that party called, Dan?
Which one? The Communist Party?
Yeah, the CPUSA.
Right.
They tried to get a war started between the mafia and the CPUSA. By sending out leaflets all along, like the longshore, the docks, because the longshoremen were the unions and they knew the union bosses, you know, had many of them had mafia ties. So they'd send out all these leaflets pretending to be a longshoreman, complaining about his brother's communist ideas, about how the Communist Party says, you know, it's a shame what they're doing to us union workers. You know, if the Communist Party would really bring them back, but it's too bad they're all run by the criminals and crooks. And like trying to incite violence between the mafia and the CPUSA. But it just didn't work. It was so blatantly obvious. No one bought it.
Do we have any idea how big the CPUSA was at this time?
I remember reading at some point that it had like 20,000 or 30,000 members, and by the end, with all their like infiltration and misinformation, that they had actually successfully dwindled the numbers to 3,000.
Wow.
Yeah, they were arising when they became, you know, to the attention of the FBI. They were a somewhat formidable political activist party. Like they were, they could be considered what they would say a threat, you know, to the, you know, to the way things were, right? And so, yeah, like the, like trying to start a fight with the La Casa Nostra, the mafia, the FBI did like just crazy shit during this. At one point, the Soviet Union had actually gifted the CPUSA a group of horses, and the FBI actually had a vet secretly sterilize them.
Secretly?
Like, the FBI secretly? Were a bunch of petty bitches. Like, they're just doing like the dumbest shit.
Well, the guy that like showed up on the docks with like a pair of scissors and...
I don't know how they got a hold of them, but they're just, it's like, how would you get a hold of, how do you just, like, steal the horses or sneak in there late at night, snip, snip? Like, it's
like fuck a 1,500 pound animal. You can't.
I just see like a vet just like pulling on a little like black mask and like putting on the eye and fucking just
yeah, right.
Like no shine eyebrow stuff and just walking in there.
You know,
like,
what? Yeah, you know how that happened? You had Jim Jimerson and Jerry Jimerson head to the local vet, walk in. They're like, we need a true patriot.
Buddy, everybody knows Dr. Doolittle was doing side work for the fucking government.
It's crazy the level of like criminality done by the FBI that just was rampant.
It's just crazy too.
Almost 20 years.
This is just one, like, this is only one of the things we know that just fucking like,
this is like a little sliver of the pie. Like a tiny,
and the only reason
piece
we know this is because it got leaked by fucking happenstance, and it blows my fucking mind.
Now, didn't it get leaked by, maybe Dan will know better. Didn't like a group of like citizens infiltrate like an FBI person or agent's house, and like that's how they got the initial documents?
Well, no, technically what it was that an anti-war activist group was infiltrating an office in Pennsylvania. And what they were looking for was the Selective Service cards, which were used for the draft for Vietnam.
Right.
And they were going to just their original goal.
We got to back up for 1 second because it's even better than that. They chose the night of the fight between Fraser and
Listen, did you stop right now? The fight between Fraser and Ali? You mean the fucking fight of the century? Fraser number one?
Yeah.
The one where fucking Joe Fraser won by unanimous decision? Like,
yeah.
This was the fight. This was the world's biggest fucking pay-per-view event to date.
But it wasn't pay-per-view back then. I'm pretty sure you could just watch it on TV, which is why they picked that, because they were like, you know what? The guards will probably be watching this, and they'll be distracted, so we'll have time to go in.
The world
and steal
was
this.
Watching this, man. It was genius. Right? The only people not watching the fight were these fucking guys breaking into the FBI office.
Yeah.
You know, they felt that, you know, social activism was a little bit more important than boxing, I guess.
Well,
Fraser
wrong.
With a scorecard of 9-6, 11-4, and 8-6-1.
Oof, dropped Ali with a fucking looping left hook. Jesus.
27,
Joe Frazier was a beast back then,
dude,
man. Like
27.5 million viewers back then. That's a big.
That's before his vision started going. Joe Frazier was an absolute fucking monster back then. He doesn't get enough credit, man. He
crushed him.
Now, these guys used that. And what was it? They had a dope ass name too. They were like the Citizens Investigation Committee of the FBI or something like that. Like they were on to the FBI. Like a group of like concerned activists had been like, these motherfuckers are up to something nefarious.
Well, it was run by like intellectuals. Like the one guy was like a physics professor.
Yeah. Like it was like, you know, college and university professors. And there was a bunch of intellects in it who had recognized what the FBI was up to. And they were looking for information to expose them.
Little did they fucking know what they were going to find.
Like, no, I don't think anyone could have guessed.
So eventually their idea, well, you know, what their day out originally was to steal Selective Service cards, destroy the Selective Service cards. Therefore, you know, that would kind of neutralize people getting drafted into Vietnam. But what they ended up finding is not only that, but this was actually the place where they were holding those Selective Service cards was actually also a 2-man FBI field office. This was in Media, Pennsylvania.
Which 2 men is what I want to know.
Yeah, we know.
Jim and Jerry
Jimerson.
Yeah.
So I guess the two Jimerson brothers had left all their shit on the table because they jacked all of those. They took hundreds of the documents when they realized what they had there, that they had found the material that which revealed, you know, the absolute absurd reach of COINTELPRO and the tons of, you know, and they leaked all of these out to numerous news outlets.
Well, you're missing,
in order to expose the program.
You're missing the most important thing that was in that office.
The box of snakes.
Lance Kincaid's cryogenically frozen body.
That's where it all began.
Yeah.
That's right.
Now, the other thing is that, what year was this, Dan? When did this happen?
1971.
1971. And these two fucking idiots had documents going back to the 50s loose in a field house. You know how incriminating this shit is? Like, I can't even imagine what they have under lock and key. I can't even imagine.
Buddy, they knew they had everybody fooled with the name. They're like, this is a genius name. No one's going to have any idea what it means. They're not even going to look at it.
Never going to suspect anything.
Like, it's absolutely boggles my mind that all these documents were easily accessible to be burgled. Right, in a field office.
Burgled?
I'm like, what?
Is that the singular version of burglary? Like burgled? I burgled
yeah,
you.
Burgled. Yeah, to burgle.
Awesome. I've never heard or used that in a sentence. Burgled.
I structured that sentence just to say it because I wanted to say that word.
I like
hamburglar. Burgled burgers.
Burgles yeah. Hamburgers.
He burgled hamburgers. Burgled burgers. I can't even begin to fathom the shit that they have that. They were like, burn this, destroy this, or keep this under lock and key. Because to me, if this was my outfit and we were doing all this stuff, I'd be like, okay, no one write this shit down and destroy it instantly. Right away.
This message will self-destruct, like that kind of stuff.
You got to think, this is what they're doing. They were operating under the guise of the law very loosely. They were like, yeah, we're covered because we're allowed to, you know, spy on people, you know, in case we think they're a threat. And it's like, well, you're spying on everyone. They're like, they might be a threat. Hey, like, what about killing people? They're like, it wasn't us. It wasn't us. We didn't pull the trigger. But it's like everything they were doing was like so beyond like crossing a line and illegal. That why would you keep these dots? Like, if you're going to go that far to do this shit, like, why keep all the evidence? That is what blows me away.
Because they get so, you know what I mean? They get to a certain point where you just get so fucking lazy and arrogant. You know what I mean? Like, that's how all this shit gets exposed. People fucking make mistakes because they get complacent.
They think they have it wrapped. They think they have it under control. No one's going to find out. So they just leave it in the open and someone cracks it.
Yeah, well, 1971 rolls around, and this is right about the time that, you know, Watergate is also breaking. And so one of the most important, you know, events during this time was the assembly of the church committee, right? Or it's, as it's called, it's the Senate. What was it?
Is church a cool acronym?
It's the church committee, who it's led by Senator Frank Church, who was a U.S. Senator from Idaho, and the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. And they built up a case to review the actions of all the intelligence agencies and how they had been acting on American soil and what they had been doing. Because at this point, like we said, there was essentially no oversight. There was no civilian oversight in any of the intelligence agencies, so they were just doing whatever the fuck they wanted. The only person who really knew about it was the president, and he probably didn't even know all of the story.
Oh, there's no way presidents knew the scope of what was going on.
So, you know, it's pretty much J. Edgar Hoover acting on his own, you know, making up, you know, justifications for whatever he felt that, you know, if whatever he interpreted to be un-American or unpatriotic or a threat to the United States, he's the only person who gets to decide what, you know, what action should be taken and what needed to be done.
Right.
So the church committee was established in order to gain insight and then, you know, decide what they were going to do about it and bring everything to light. And so not only were they you know, bringing the Watergate stuff out, they brought that stuff out, but they added this on top of it. So they added all the COINTELPRO. It was probably like the perfect time for them to get that, because that was just like, they just dropped bombshell after bombshell for days on end of all this shit. And they're just like, what the fuck is this? What the fuck is this? What the fuck is that? What the fuck is this? And dude, it's just day after day of just crazy shit. And like, can you, do you guys see what's happening here?
When they released this to the press, one of the things that blew my mind was that a lot of the people that caught this information and it was released to them were like scared and just gave it to the FBI. They're like, I don't want to be in trouble. Here you go. Someone gave us this.
Buddy, they obviously read what the fuck these guys are capable of and were like, I don't want anything to do with this shit.
Right? And it was like, I think it was like the Washington Post or one of them was the first to like really run with it. I don't know if I'm giving the right credit where credit's due, but I think so.
That sounds right.
Hashtag look it up. Look sounds it up. Right.
So pretty much all of the church committee, once the church committee had finished, the result was essentially the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, which had become an assembly of legislation and protocols that would establish oversight into the actions of, you know, intelligence services. Also, one of the big things to come out of this was the implementation of 10-year terms for FBI directors. Because essentially you had J. Edgar Hoover, who had been in there for almost like 30, 40 years, you know, king of the FBI. And now it's, and then after the church committee, they had established that, no, how about every 10 years they go through a review and they have to, you know, they have to be, you know,
they gotta be vetted.
Right. Or vetted, or they are answerable to us, to the civilians, to, you know, Congress, who are elected, the democratically elected Congress.
Did these guys go against
for their actions?
The, you know, like the amendments, and like, did they go against our democracy? Did they really fuck over the people in their last 10 years? Let's review this, because.
Well, like, so how long was J. Edgar Hoover in charge for? Sorry. Can you repeat
that? Too long.
It's like 30, 40 years.
Way too long.
Just fucking try and wrap your brain around the things that that guy could have potentially done in fucking 40 years of being in charge. This is all we know about.
JFK died in 63. That's all I'm saying.
This is fucking, like, mind-boggling. Completely fucking mind-boggling.
I've never believed...
Are you saying mind-boggling or mind-boggling?
Yeah. It's mind-boggling. Get your Rickyisms right, my friend.
Get the Rickies down.
Oh, okay, yeah. Jesus. All right. Hey, good.
Brayden, you should know, because you're a blend of Julian and Ricky, I think. Is that what you're called?
No. I'm sorry. They all have it wrong. Brayden is fucking 100% Randy Bobandy. Zell is fucking Jim Leahy.
So what, we're gay lovers is what you're saying?
Probably. Brayden does love cheeseburgers.
I'm Fat Cyrus. Everyone knows that.
You're not Cyrus.
You wish you were Cyrus.
I'm going to buy a cool leather jacket.
Dude, I felt like Jim Leahy the last about 5 weeks that I've been drinking more than I would normally would.
Oh, but buddy, be careful.
Before we get too off track, we got to wrap this one up. With them shutting down, you know, FBI directors basically, you know, having lifelong terms, they obviously closed a dark chapter on the history of America, never to be reopened.
Never.
Right, Dan?
Never.
It was a unique time. And a lot of people would say that COINTELPRO was a success in some ways. It did exactly what it set out to do. It had fragmented and neutralized a lot of the momentum that these, you know, activist groups had been building over the years prior to the interference of the FBI and certain, and their interference into their affairs. But, you know, officially COINTELPRO was shut down in 1971.
Under that name.
Unofficially, it seems that those tactics, those counterinsurgency tactics that were developed during that time were used long after, or even you could say are continued to use today.
Dude, I keep thinking about that stuff. I keep thinking about, like, because you look at like after 9/11, like the Patriot Act, and like, oh, it's all for anti, you know what?
Yeah.
we got to have the blanket coverage of everyone's communication, emails, text, just in case someone texts or emails the code, like the keywords, like anything to do with terrorism. Like, we just have to have it. You know, it's for public safety. No big deal. And you're like, this seems, this kind of happened before. Just now we're in a digital age, and now it's even easier to blanket coverage, like large portions of people. It's bananas.
Right. And so with the Patriot Act actually is almost not a thing in itself. It's actually just a type of amendments to the Foreign Intelligence Act that I had mentioned before, that came out of the Church Committee. And it really changes kind of like the justifications. It gives the NSA, CIA intelligence agencies more leeway into their justifications of what they need in order to obtain warrants, in order to, to implement surveillance on certain citizens within the United States, outside the United States. And the Patriot Act was originally meant to be temporary. The amendments were supposed to be almost like a wartime thing, since we were entering the war on terror. And they have to be renewed. A lot of them have to be reviewed, and they have to be, I think they have to be renewed like every 10 years or so. In 2017, a lot of those things were, a lot of the provisions in the Patriot Act were reviewed. There was a couple things in the news about it, about Congress, reviewing it and then renewing those, some of the amendments. But they also made some changes and rolled some things back for the Patriot Act because they felt they weren't needed, or there was pushback from some, members of Congress. So a lot of people are saying that we're moving more towards, at least in the United States, or some in other developed countries, we're moving towards this idea of the surveillance state.
Yeah.
Back then it was communism, and then it was,
terrorism,
anti-war, and then it was, terrorism.
Listen to this.
Scary.
That's why I just pulled this up before we get off track. So the Patriot Act was included in the, I don't know what this means, in the legislation that expired in 2019, but it was passed a 77-day extension, which was supposed to be March 15th, 2020. So does that mean that it's still, like, those rules are still enacted?
Some of them are.
Some of them. They're like still available.
There are pieces and parts which have been kind of rolled back or changed since then. Since the original Patriot Act was established in 2001 or so, 2002.
No, it was definitely written before 9/11.
I'm just saying, if you think this COINTELPRO shit stopped in 71, you were naive. We're seeing that still today. I can think of even seeing misinformation in the media about, in Canada, we had the pipeline protest, the Wet's, I'm going to fucking botch their name.
I can't say it either.
Wet'suwet'en people?
First Nations? Wet'suwet'en people.
Yeah, I don't have it in front of me, and it's a hard word to read.
It's very, the First Nations language of Canada are not English, so when you try and translate them over, they're really hard to pronounce.
It's, now, the hereditary chiefs were against it, and then you get all this information that, most of the protesters are white, they're not even First Nations, and then some hereditary chiefs are for it and against it. That person is not a hereditary chief, this person is, and until you have no idea, and then all of a sudden it's done, and it's gone.
That was the same thing in those, the Dakota pipeline protests. They're going across those native lands, and there was huge protests, and it was in the media for a while, and all of a sudden, it's over, and they're building it. And then the pipeline leaked, and you're like, what the fuck is going on? What is what is misinformation and what is not misinformation? Like, what's real anymore?
It's crazy after reading this, seeing so many parallels to what's happened here. I think about the Black Lives Matter activist group, being labeled a terrorist organization in some places, and things like that. And this is all what popped in my head, all this COINTELPRO stuff. I'm like, it's scary when there's not defined lines that these agencies can operate in. And when they're given broad powers, that leave room for interpretation, it's not, we've seen from the 50s to 1971, it's not a good thing, and it doesn't end well for anyone.
Like, that's, I was thinking too, like, now imagine, because you, like, the last few years it's been like Russian intervention, Russian, like a lot of Russian stuff. And then, like, it seems, because Dan's even said, he's like, well, like, when, well, there'll be like a post and Dan will like go back and like look at it, like, no, this is just like from like a Russian site, like blah, blah, blah. What if that Russian site is just some type of like COINTELPRO, like they put, they've purposely done this to like make it look like Russia. So any, like, without a lot of knowledge, you can really look back and like, oh, this comes from Russia, this must be Russian propaganda. And then they're like, yeah, Russia's interfering, Russia's this. But maybe, like, what if the COINTELPRO or like the next version of that is this coming in and that it's still stirring dissent, but now they just pushed it that way?
Oh, dude, it's impossible, because I was thinking about that too, because I'm like, okay, well, if it was truly like counterintelligence, you think they'd be smarter enough than to, like, the average person could follow, like, you know, trace back. It back, right? In all these days where you can, you know, hide your IP and mask it and all this other shit, you know, why... It's so easy to spread information now. It's crazy. And you know, after hyper-normalization, I just don't know what to believe.
It's
wild times, man. It's Wild West right now.
Dan, what do you think about that? What do you think about, like, it, like, intelligence agencies still pushing the, like, the anti-Russian thing by making it easy for people to... Like, most people don't ever look, right? Like, most people just, like, see it, they read it, and they're like, oh, yeah, like... whatever it is, but if you look back and you could obviously trace it back, like, well, this is like from Russia or like a Russian state of some kind, like, and you're like, well, like, is it really Russia, or is it like, are someone trying to like make us believe it's Russia, or like, what's going on here?
In my opinion, the whole COINTELPRO thing and everything that it's done was always the main goal was to divide people. It was always meant to divide activist groups, to prevent activist groups from communicating with each other and even across different party lines. So, you know, organizing, putting things together for their, you know, I mean, you could say most of the activist groups that were fighting during the 1960s were fighting for the privileges and rights that were being afforded to white males.
Right.
Like, and
white male privilege for everybody.
Yeah.
Not that so much, but just like equity is really the question. But anyway,
across the board.
So you have to, there has to be a conversation now. And I think there has to be, it comes down to that there, people need to engage and need to be able to, you know, properly, you know, civilly engage in a conversation. Not so much about what is true, but what is right.
Mm.
So if you're looking at something and it's calling, you know, you're looking at an article and it's calling, you know, it's either demonizing somebody, trying to foment radicalization. It's trying to imply violence, you know, of some sort. In my mind, none of those things are right. So, I mean, it comes down to people just being able to figure out, you know, what what is needed to make sure that everybody in society can feel safe and can also contribute to what needs to be done, you know, to move forward.
I know, but you see, like, and, you just see it right now, like, especially right now, I don't think I've ever seen an online community more divided and hateful and like full of like venom than current times with the COVID-19 and like this whole thing. I've never seen this before.
And you could either say that that is either something that is a result of COINTELPRO, is a result of these kinds of operations either still going on, or you could just say that it's a byproduct and it's just something.
It's a snowball, right? Once you get the ball rolling, it gets out of your hands and it's on its own, right? So once you get this divide going and, you know, this hatred, it starts perpetuating itself without any need for further assistance.
Yeah, once you like wedge that first crack in, and then like some people go one way, and then like you're like, your bias or like your dissonance to that like idea just pulls you no matter what. All it takes is a little crack in the story, like one, that's what I mean. Like it could just be, the story could be this, and then just one person or like a few people promote a different version, creates like a crack. And even though that version has no, like no real solid backing, because it's like, it sounds like something that you want to believe, it just like cracks and divides like a huge portion of people. And
right.
you could show them, you could show them the evidence train back and be like, okay, well, why do you think like that? Like, where did it come from? Blah, blah, blah. And they'll cite a story or an article and you'll be like, okay, like I understand why you think that way, but like, do you, like, how do you know that's a real thing? And they're like, well, I've read it and I know it's real. And there's like, there's nothing you can change my mind on. You're like, oh, well, I have no idea what to do anymore.
Yeah. And there's definitely, there's definitely sociocultural elements that are need to be talked about and addressed, I think, within the United States, at least, that go real deep, you know, and what I would say that are kind of the roots of COINTELPRO and the whole kind of persecution of either minorities and, you know, foreigners in the United States, that kind of thing. But those conversations need to happen. I don't think they ever really did happen.
Right.
Because of COINTELPRO. COINTELPRO broke apart people trying to organize and trying to have a conversation, right? A lot of the activist groups back then, 1960s, 1970s, they were nonviolent. Most of the violence that was caused was, you know,
COINTELPRO
fomented by FBI action.
Yeah. So crazy.
Dude, like facilitating. And see, that's the other thing. Dude, this shit is still going on today. Well, we saw that...
You have to be absolutely fucking naive to believe that it's not going on today. This has been around since the 50s, and they've had nothing but fucking time because they know that it worked. They have elements. They have proof that this worked. So they've had nothing but fucking time to perfect this.
Dude, we've seen the RCMP in Canada do this when they found the two radicalized people online.
Oh, yeah.
And an undercover RCMP officer taught them how to make bombs and supplied them with the materials to make bombs and helped them plan a bombing of Parliament. And then they were arrested for trying to bomb Parliament. But they're dumb. The two people who got caught are dumb. They would have never been able to make the bomb. They would have never been able to gather the components. All of that was helped by the RCMP. And I'm not saying like, oh, the RCMP is terrible organization, full of bad people. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying like the tactics were used. The same tactics we saw in COINTELPRO.
Dude, 100%. And yeah, not all like law, obviously not all law enforcement and stuff are evil, but just like any profession, you got some bad eggs in there who are susceptible to, you know, a little money in their pocket, a little whatever the reason is, there is people susceptible to like going down that route. And even in Canada, a place where conspiracies seem to not breed, that stuff still comes out. It's bananas.
Yeah. And I would believe that, okay, everybody's going to say that this is, some people conspiracy theorists and, you know, a lot of us would be like, oh, this is the natural progression of things. You know, the government's going to take over. They're going to take bigger and bigger steps. We've given them too much power. They're just going to keep taking and taking and taking. And
till we start eating our neighbors' asses.
Right.
Oh, man. We got to talk about that in after hours. That's hilarious.
And I would say no, because back then, I think a lot of the COINTELPRO tactics and a lot of the leeway that they were given was the fact that at least in the United States, like trust in the U.S. government was at an all-time high right after World War II, post-World War II. Now, people are generally in the United States are more educated and you're more involved in U.S. politics. You're becoming more aware. And I would say the best chance that people have to avoid this, you know, populations within developed countries to avoid this kind of thing happening again, is for people to become educated, people to become involved, and people to become, active in their communities, right? A lot of these, there are a lot of cities now, that have fought against local police forces installing things like facial recognition technology, there's a type of like data stripper towers that they can install, which can basically rip data off your phone.
Yep.
Or listen to your phone conversations. There are multiple cities where just the city council, people have approached the city council, they have organized into activist groups, and they have fought against these things, and they have told the police, no, you fuckers don't need these things. You don't need facial recognition technology in a town that is as small as ours. You know, you don't need these kinds of things because they're not necessary.
Wasteful, right? Wasteful resource most of the
right.
time.
So, you know, again, all of these tactics, all of these things have always meant to be people. They want us isolated. They want people broken. They want people fractured. They don't want you to organize, right? They don't want you to be able to. They want you to feel like your only resort is violence, and they want violent revolution so they can put you down.
Right.
So the only way, I would say the best way to address that is to be able for people to come together, have conversations. And I'm not saying it's fast. It's going to be like tomorrow, but it's going to be a long slog.
I want it now.
To get to the point where people that you can have a totally responsible government, democratically elected, responsible government.
Right? Now, let's get last thoughts on COINTELPRO. Zell, what's your final thoughts?
Well, obviously, it's a lesson for humanity. So if you're not paying attention, this stuff is probably still ongoing. And if you just like, if you get that wedge between like you and your friends or you and your community, and then you don't have to go all the way. You can look at all the points of view. You can read it, but you don't have to like just be sold on something that you've heard because you like it and that's your point of view. You know what? You can take all avenues and, you know, make an informed decision and don't go all the way.
100%. Andrew, what's your final thoughts, COINTELPRO?
I think it's alive and well today.
Yep.
I think they've trimmed some of the rough edges. They perfected a little bit.
They promoted the Jimmersons.
Promoted the Jimmersons, got a little bit out of the racism avenue and focused on other avenues, but I think it's still alive and running right now.
It still shocks me that, you know, Watergate is so well known and, you know, in the public eye, and this is the until like it was brought up that we should look into this, I'd never even heard of any of this shit. It's crazy to me.
Not really, no.
Because I mean, this stuff to me blows Watergate out of the water. As for like Gate. You know, corruption.
Out of the Watergate.
What did I say?
No, you said blew it out of the water, and I was like, Gate.
Watergate.
Yeah. Hey. Anyways, let's get into this.
Dan, last thoughts. What do you think? As our only American member of the podcast.
I always think that the people, the greatest capacity or the greatest strength that humanity has is the capacity to cooperate.
Boom.
And use empathy.
Like that.
And I think that, like Zell said, this was a lesson that if you let an agency go rogue with no oversight from civilians or any input from communities or the people that it affects, this is the result. This is where it could go. And we stopped it, not stopped it, but either stopped it or slowed it.
Stop that
to
version.
Some extent.
That version of
but it.
But
it takes vigilance and it takes maintenance, right? With the development of technology and things like that, and technology's developing at such a fast pace. I mean, at this point, you have the people who are making the laws don't fundamentally understand the technology that they're making the laws for.
Yep.
And we stop this by complete accident.
I think you need people who, legislators, people who are making the laws should know what Twitter is.
That's, yes. All social medias. Get with the times. Let's go.
You know, right. So that's what I'm just saying. Just, we need to get more involved and more vigilant.
Boom. Let's get into some space news.
What do we got for space news?
We are currently passing through the tail of Halley's Comet, which is the Lyrid meteor shower.
Is that what's happening?
It's peaking this week. What was that?
It's peaking tonight, actually. Tonight, May the 4th. May the 4th be with you all. We didn't say that at the beginning. May the 4th is the peak of the shower, but it's going to last until mid-May. So keep looking up.
So you can get out there, make some wishes. I'm going to wish I double my push-ups.
You said you're going to triple.
Tells me that's not going to be hard to do.
You said you're tripling push-ups.
Yeah, I'm going to go for I want to try to go for 100 at the end.
I would like to see you get 100. That would be impressive.
Yeah.
Man, I would be happy with 100, so I'll be really impressed.
I'd be happy with 50. Okay. Right, next.
Exclusive. We might have first ever detection of a fast radio burst in our own galaxy.
Meaning?
A Milky Way magnetar called SGR 1935 plus 2154 may have just massively contributed to solving the mystery of powerful deep space radio signals that have vexed astronomers for years. You gotta look that up. This is way beyond my intelligence level.
Look it up. Hashtag look it up.
I read that article and I was just like, well, the headline's good, but after that I'm like, I don't understand any of this. I had one other thing, but the site's not working.
I got a couple. The moon isn't dead. Ridges on lunar surface show signs of recent tectonic activity. For a lot of years, all the experts have said the moon appears to be an inactive
spaceship.
Well, that also a spaceship, hollow
ball of cheese,
a Death Star, if you will. But yeah, they think that because there's a few ridges on the Earth or on the moon that show what seems to be freshly uncovered bedrock, not covered in moon regolith, which is uncommon, I guess. So they're thinking that the moon actually might have a little bit of volcanic or tectonic seismic activity. So maybe it's not a dead rock like we thought. Or maybe it's getting ready to pick up and get the fuck out. As a spaceship.
Moon's a rockin'. Yeah, don't come knocking.
It's out. And as soon as imagine the moon was a spaceship and it left the orbit of the Earth and it just fucked up all our weather and stuff. The whole planet just got destroyed.
Jesus.
Would the weather get destroyed? Because we'd have no more tides.
No more tides. Like that. I think if the moon was just vanished out of the sky, the Earth's weather would just fucking collapse, I think.
Oh, there'd be tons of bad things.
There'd be a lot of bad shit going on.
There'd be a lot of bad things.
No werewolves.
We'd get hit by a bunch of more meteors.
Yeah, the moon takes like 95% of the meteors. So if the moon goes, we're definitely getting smashed. Now, that's something I haven't looked at, actually. When was the last time the moon got hit by a sizable object? Anyone know? I don't think in a while, but it could happen any day.
Because most of the smaller ones, things. I think mostly it doesn't, they don't strike it, but the moon's gravitational pull actually kind of like shields us. It kind of like bends stuff.
Just makes them go off course.
Changes the trajectory ever so slightly that it, stuff kind of misses.
Yeah, rather than a direct hit, it kind of like pulls it off course just enough to kind of have a close flyby instead. That's all I had for space news. Anybody else?
Yeah, that's it for space news. Let's fire up the old Randomatron. See what we got going here.
Randomatron. Here we go. Printing, faxing, scanning, emailing, texting.
Woof.
Oh. Mongoose file. Here it comes. Oh, yeah.
Now, hold on. We've had a lot of complaints about the way you tell stories.
Yeah.
People hate it when you tell it in the first person.
Yeah, you suck at telling stories, I guess.
Can someone please explain to me how you don't tell a story in the first person? I'm very confused by that.
Told you, third person, plural.
Yeah.
He walked into the room.
They. They walked into the room.
Man, I'm getting a lot of hate. You don't like my stories? You don't like the way I do push-ups? Like, what the fuck else am I going to do, man? You don't like just one arm? I tried two arms. My ass wasn't high enough, according to somebody. Like,
no, your ass was too high. It was above your... No, it was below your chest. What do you say?
I don't know.
Your ass was below your chest.
You're getting grilled.
I don't know how that anatomically works, to be honest with you. My ass is supposed to be in line with my chest, he was saying.
Yeah.
I don't... Anyway.
I thought you're supposed to be a straight, like, you know, like a 15-degree angle. Like, straight all the way.
Yeah, and that's how I thought I was, but I could be wrong. I don't know. Who knows? I'll try it better.
Andrew's not straight.
You suck, I guess. You just suck all around.
That's fair.
Andrew sucks at being straight.
Listen, anyways. Here's the pro. You got some self-improvement, right?
Yeah.
There's only up from here.
This is true.
All right.
Anyways. Don't fuck up this story, though.
So, obviously, we know this. Happened to a friend of a friend of mine.
Of course.
Yeah, and not even his friend. He kind of knew this guy.
Kind of knows him. Loosely. Yeah. But again, as we all know and we all hate, I'm going to have to talk about the story in the first person. Because, you know what I mean? It's not going to sound good if I don't. So, our friend of a friend of ours was just wrapping up a call in kind of a farm area. You know, a lot of times ambulance get called for what we call lift assists. So, you know, an elderly person in the middle of the night will get up, potentially try to go to the bathroom or whatever elderly people like to do in the middle of the night. And because they're, you know what I mean? They're not always the most ambulatory people in the world. They can fall. Sometimes they don't get hurt. So when that happens, you can help them back up to their feet, help them back up into bed. They go back to bed. The ambulance, you know what I mean, wraps up and takes off. So we were just finishing up helping this very nice old lady back in her bed, packing up all our equipment. When we're outside and you hear this like deafening boom and like the kind of fucking boom you can feel in your chest, like, you know what I mean?
Little boom, boom, shake the room.
Exactly. Like fucking almost drop your knees, boom. Right? Startling. And you look over to in the distance and you can just see fucking smoke and fire billowing from what looked like a farmhouse.
Oh, you know what I mean?
And we're like, you know what I mean? We're fucking like, you know what I mean? 2-3 miles away from this place. So you get on the mic and let dispatch know. Be like, I don't know what happened, but we just heard an explosion. Like, obviously send the police, send the fire. We're going to go check it out. So hop in our ambulance and boogie down to this farmhouse. And as we're approaching, you can just see the fucking flames flying. And I'm like, you know what I mean? You know, did a little firefighting back in the day. So I was like, you know, I'm going to relive the old glory days, kick down the door and fucking save some people. Let's do this.
Yeah.
So we come flying up to this farmhouse and there's fucking flames everywhere. And my whole plan to relive my glory days is starting to feel like a really fucking shitty idea. Like, this doesn't look like a great idea. So I grab the dinky little fucking fire extinguisher and haul ass towards the house. And as I'm getting like, this is, you know what I mean? Shit's, there's propane tanks in the back popping. Like, this is terrifying. This is some backdraft shit. Way above my pay grade. Anyways, start running up to the front door and... You know what I mean? I'm going to be a badass. And I'm going to kick this door in. First try. No problem. Front kick. Black dynamite. No problem. 2, 3, 4, 5 kicks. This door's not fucking budging whatsoever. As like you can hear fucking screaming and flames just get fucking higher and higher. And I'm like, holy shit. As I'm trying to kick this door open, you look to your left and one of those little fucking, you know, like the tiny little half windows that people have in their basements.
Yep.
Yeah.
That flies open and you can see arms sticking out. And I'm like, fuck, okay, perfect.
Oh, shit.
You know, turn around, go run. You know what I mean? And I'm like trying to help them. And I'm like, hey, guys, just like stay calm. We'll pull you out through the window. It looks big enough. And you can hear this guy just screaming his face off. And as you get closer, you have a look at this guy. And he looks like we're talking fucking Raiders of the Lost Ark. Like this guy's face is fucking in the midst of melting.
Oh.
And I'm like, holy shit, I've got like minutes to get this guy out. And he's got his arms reached out. So I start grabbing onto his hands and try, like, you know what I mean? And it's pitch black and I'm grabbing on his hands and I'm like, you know what I mean? And I can't get a grip. I'm like, why is this guy so fucking wet? Like, I couldn't figure out.
Oh, no.
And I keep just slipping off his arms.
No.
And as I'm slipping, I look and his skin from his arms is just fucking completely sloughing off. Oh, my God.
I knew where that story was going. As soon as you said his arms are wet, I was like, oh, no.
So we've got a puddle of skin underneath this guy's fucking arms, and he's just fucking screaming, and I got no other options here. So I reached my arm in, and he was wearing pants, and I fucking grabbed the back of his fucking pants and just pulled him out. And unfortunately, like, we got this guy out. He was the only person in the house, luckily. He lost a dog. It was a fucking meth. He had a meth lab in the basement. He didn't make it. But you know what I mean? Like, I was shook after sitting on the back of the ambulance. We had another crew come in and transport this guy. And like, I'm sitting there just like trying to process what happened. And I hadn't even taken my gloves off yet. And I go to fucking take my gloves off and skin just comes off with my glove. Oh man. And just like, I puked, my friend puked his guts out.
I can imagine.
Like, it was horrifying. So, and you know, there's a little taste of some grossness of EMS life for you.
Do you want to be a paramedic?
Did I mention it does not pay well?
Not in this area, at least.
It's a no. That's a no for me, dog.
That's a hard no over here.
It's a hard no for me, dog.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
It was super gross.
All right. Well, let's, what else we got at the end here? You got a song of the week, Zell?
Oh, I'm going to read a few Patreon supporters. If you want to hear some after hours and a bunch of bonus stuff, head over to our Patreon, patreon.com/alientheoristpodcast. We got almost 80 hours of bonus stuff on there, and more coming every week. This week's Patreon supporters, we have Shay. Oh, this is a great fucking name. Alien Speculator Speculating.
You're lucky parody law is a thing, buddy.
Yeah, ooh, easy.
Yeah, fucking.
Stuart. White Rod. Toby. Oh, this is a great, man, another great fucking name. The Australian. You can figure out how that's
good name. Australian. I saw him new on Discord. He or she, I don't know.
Welcome. Them? Welcome. Them. They. Jamie. Nathan Saucer. Nope, that's wrong. Nathan Sawyer. Sawyer. Amanda. Oh, God damn. Amanda Goadecki. Goadecki? Go with that. Jose A. Martinez, and that's the last one of the week. Thanks for supporting the show.
Yeah.
I do have a band of the week. Any other final thoughts before, any final housekeeping before I give the band of the week, or are we good?
We're good. Give the band of the week.
Oh, wait. I wanted to say shout out to our Facebook mods.
Oh, yeah.
Killing it. I haven't said it on the regular show. I saw it after hours, and now I can remember. Fucking, they're the best.
They're killing it. Like,
they're really great. They go through all that stuff that gets posted on our social media, on our Facebook page, and to the Facebook group. And I go through it occasionally, but they are on top of it just about all the time.
They're putting in work.
The Facebook group has gotten a lot better.
Yeah, it's got a lot better still. And our mods are so good that I'm pretty sure one of our mods posted a push-up video, and he was getting roasted. And he could have at any time just start slinging that band hammer on all you motherfuckers that were poking fun at him. But he holds himself to a higher standard than that. And he just rolled with the punches.
I would have banned them all. Absolutely banned them all.
Yeah. That's why Andrew's not a mod.
Dude, I'm so petty. They would all be gone.
Andrew's not a mod because he'd be banning everyone.
Hey, listen. My shit gets fucking denied on there, okay?
Yeah. Oh, we got a donation.
Whoa, what's that?
$20 donation.
Hey!
Grace. Grace. I didn't even know that would come up, but that did, so appreciate that.
What do we have to do for that? Do you take off a shirt now? What goal is that?
You show one nipple. Shirt off. You donate $20. Andrew takes his shirt off. I had something else to say, but I forgot it. So,
wait, is that a thing?
I guess so.
Yeah. That's a $20 from our Chatterbait stream.
Oh.
Yeah, you can find us on, what's the website that people are using now for selling nudes?
OnlyFans, yeah.
OnlyFans, ATT. You can find a bunch of disappointing pictures.
All your explicit pics that you've ever you find not
ATT
wanted to
after
see.
Dark.
All of us together doesn't even equal Rasputin, just so you know.
No. 100% not.
Yeah. Not even half.
All right, let's wrap it up. I got band of the week. This week's band of the week is a band called The Carbons. They've been featured on here a few times. Friends of mine from Kelowna, BC. The new song is called Superheroes. Just came out, I think, like 2 days ago. So give it a listen. You can find The Carbons on Spotify or any streaming service. We'll play it at the end here.
And I'll press stop. We always say at the stop it. And as we always say at the end of these things, keep those eyes on the sky. Yeah.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.